This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Sometimes I try to see if I can shake my butt better than I could the night before, and the answer is always no.
Oh, I've done that. No, I've done that. I'm like, let's just check
let's
out.
Let's just try one more
I
time.
I haven't worked on this. No. Let's see if it looks any less embarrassing.
Maybe just by the grace of God, I've been struck with this ability between yesterday and today.
Like, I knew I didn't have whatever muscle that is yesterday.
Yeah, but maybe today is the day. I'll find out I can shake my ass like Shakira.
Oh my God.
One of these days it's going to happen for us.
The most embarrassing thing is I've taken a video of it and I'm like, no.
But with clothes on.
Yes. Oh,
and then, with pants off, that'd be so brave.
And then I was like, yeah, this. I feel confident. And I watched it. I was like, I threw my phone into a ravine.
Punch up the jam. What's up? I forgot the nickname thing that I do at the beginning. Welcome to Punch Up the Jam. You know what? I'm going to think of it right in the middle of the Brady Punch.
You've definitely done that one before.
Damn it. Fine. All right. I give up. Welcome to Punch Up the Jam. My name's Demi.
I'm Miel.
Miel, what do we do here?
We take old songs that were good, that were bad, or somewhere in between. We revisit them, we reexamine them, and then we make them better.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Naked Punch.
Naked Punch?
Yeah, like Naked Lunch, the Cronenberg movie. I moved on.
Oh, no.
I think it's pretty
oh,
good.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
no,
yeah.
Like the Cronenberg movie. Anyway.
I've moved on. Okay. We're past it. No.
I think that this disembodied voice, I want to hear more of what she has
to say. Okay.
But I would like her to have a proper introduction. You know her from us and from Adam Ruins Everything. It's Jossie Kaufman.
What's up, fam?
You're in the Jordan Peele film Us?
Yeah, I am Us. Actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I play the titular role.
I panicked because I'm like, well, how do I introduce Jossie? You're on Demi's improv team.
Demi and I do some pretty silly make-em-ups.
They're pretty good make-em-ups. Well, I think you were saying before you like to grab stuff from a cabinet, fill it with water.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's like 10 seconds in. I'm like, am I going to talk about mime?
I mean, I would love to talk about your mime history for an hour.
All I was saying is that, you know what? No details. Improv is slightly cooler than mime, is what I was saying. Just like so slightly, so marginally.
Every game of charades we've ever played, of which we have played many,
as
we are huge fans of the game Fishbowl.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be on your team. You are so goddamn good at charades.
Yeah. Also, I mean, look, you can do the space work, but also, like, my heart and my soul is in any low-stakes competition. Like, the only time I almost got into a physical fight was because I was really trying to raise my team's morale in PE volleyball.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, come on, guys. We got to be there for each other. We got to call balls, okay? Okay, and if we miss one ball, we're all missing that ball. It's not one person's fault.
How did I get into a fight?
Yeah, who would get
well,
mad at you
then
for that?
A girl on the other side started mocking me.
That's so mean.
And I was like,
what's her name? Dox her.
I bet it's
her
Rebecca.
Name is Marielle.
Marielle's too specific.
That's like the closest to true rage I've ever felt, actually. Because,
you know...
I was just trying to...
No, you were being the good person there.
Yeah, I was just trying to make fifth period a little more exciting.
Clear eyes, clear your hearts, can't lose.
I missed so much PE in high school that I like always was in other people's PE classes.
I also love that we've naturally segued into talking about high school since we are here to talk about the song of high school.
Oh,
Green Days.
When did this song come out?
Good Riddance, Time of Your Life. I can tell you, and it was 1997.
Okay, so not, for me, not high school.
Well,
for none of us, high school.
No. How old do you think I am? I graduated high school in 2007.
Pass.
Trick, next.
I mean, I'm actually interested to hear from the younger audience if this is still the quintessential prom/graduation song, because it certainly was when I was
so
in high school.
So for me, it was my elementary graduation song.
Elementary graduation song?
Yes. So it was a big...
Wait, I'm sorry. I need to take that back. I couldn't understand what you're saying. You had a graduation for elementary school?
Yeah, no. It was like the most like... no one was emotionally prepared as a sixth grader to handle like grief yet.
Yeah.
But they still made us all sit in a gymnasium and like watch a bad slideshow of photos of us scored to Time of Your Life by Green Day. And then they made us walk through the halls while all the other grades applauded us. And I,
oh my God.
And I like sobbed uninterrupted for like, I would say like an hour and 15 minutes. Like I'd never sobbed before.
Chelsea, it's so sad.
Yeah. No. And I like, again, it's that feeling of like experiencing emotion you weren't ready for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the most.
The rage in PE.
Yeah.
The grief and loss in sixth grade.
They just induced it. And then I think maybe, well, okay, no, because the first track on the slideshow was Goodwin's Time of Your Life. And then the second track was I've Had the Time of My Life by from like Footloose.
Dirty Dancing.
So they bring you down and then they lift you up.
Oh. I feel like for me at some point it was that graduation song by Vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
As we go on, we remember all the times we
I always wanted to be a rap breakdown on that song.
Is that Paca Bell's Canon?
Yes.
Or the song behind? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I fucking know.
Everyone knows.
Why would I know that? I'm
Everyone
an idiot.
Everyone knows. That's she like... knew.
Yeah. Oh, Paca Bell's. Oh, Cronenberg.
Is it Nick's Canon or Paca Bell's Canon?
Nick Cannon hosts Wild and Out on MTV.
Paca Bell's Canon was married to Mariah Carey.
Okay, I have a lot of notes about this song. In fact, I thought I knew everything there was to know about this song as a reformed Green Day head.
Oh, reformed.
Reformed.
Unofficial name of the fan base.
I'll get you back in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I actually learned something astonishing that has shaken me to my core about this song. Have you ever noticed that the title is Good Riddance and then parentheses Time of Your Life?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hasn't that ever struck you as curious that it's Good Riddance?
Yeah, as I was reading the lyrics of this, I was just kind of like, why that?
Okay, get this. He wrote it, Billy Joe Armstrong, of course.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Billy Joel. Very different person. In 1990, he was like a child, about his girlfriend moving to Ecuador.
Oh.
And his quote is, in the song, I tried to be level-headed about her leaving, even though I was completely pissed off, so I named it Good Riddance to express my anger. And if you listen to the words, even the like titular part, I hope you have the time of your life. It's fucking sarcastic. It's completely sarcastic.
That is hilarious considering how we as a society
yes!
treat it. But also, I feel like when he releases it, he would change the title.
Yeah, okay. So to me, that's classic adolescent male putting up an emotional barrier.
Yeah.
So he has an out in the title.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet that the song is very genuine. But he's like, whatever, I'm better off.
I don't even actually fucking care about you, Amanda. I'm gonna
have fun in Ecuador, dork.
I could totally believe it is like ironic or sarcastic until the violin comes in. Then I'm like, okay. No, you're sincere.
Here's
now.
A note about that. Actually, he had written it in 1990.
Yeah.
Nimrod didn't come out until 1997, and they had a couple records between, including Dookie, 1993. That's the record
Dookie
that blew them the fuck up.
I love saying it.
So they initially wanted to use the song on Dookie, but couldn't figure out how it fit in with the rest of the songs. Probably for the best, honestly. If you've listened to that record, it would not make sense there. So then their producer, Rob Cavallo, I don't know that that's how you say that name. Rob Cavallo.
Cavallo.
Just fuck it. I don't know.
Is it horse in Spanish?
Cavallo?
Yeah.
Is that with a V?
No.
But is it?
Why are you fucking me up?
Because I didn't think you would examine the joke. I thought you would give me a shut the fuck up and move on.
Okay, explain that, Danny.
Let me take that back. Can you say it again? Shut the fuck up. Their producer decided to add the strings when they were doing Nimrod. In fact, there's a tidbit on Wikipedia about this. I don't know why. Maybe you could explain it to me. He sent the band to play foosball in the other room while he recorded the strings. And then here's the quote from him. Like, 15, 20 minutes, maybe half an hour at the most.
What?
Then he changed the time frame three times in one sentence.
Okay.
Maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. I don't know, maybe half an hour.
I mean, I hope that he just doesn't remember because, like, the game of foosball was so good that it, like, oh, he's like, who knows what I was doing in the booth? I mean, the foosball game, when it was crazy.
Right? I want to see a slideshow of them playing foosball set to Time of Your Life. And entirely seriously, just like, we had the time of our life playing foosball.
While our producer added strings.
And what a, like, weird specific detail of, like, we sent them off to play foosball.
It's in, like, the top section of their Wikipedia page.
That's strange.
And then the producer goes on to say, I knew we had done the right thing. It was a hit the second I heard it.
the strings?
Yeah, and also, like, I don't think one person can hear it and go, this is a hit, right? Like, isn't
this
the market?
I feel like a lot of, like, producers say that, though, when they're just kind of like, oh, it's got all the elements to a hit. and they can hear it as a hit. And I get that, but I also am just kind of like,
when do they not say that?
Yeah, yes. But also we're only hearing the story when it ends up a hit.
Yes, exactly.
No one's like, oh yeah, that B track you've never heard. When I heard that, I was like, this is a number one single.
I actually have the version that they made while it was on Dookie.
Yeah, so little sidebar, it was originally acoustic, a strummed, different key, different tempo. They put it on the B-side for the German release of the single Brain Stew / Jaded.
Oh, wow.
2 years before Nimrod came out.
That's a power track list.
Right? So deep fans had already heard the song and then just heard a totally new version on the newer record.
Yeah.
Do you want to play that one?
Yeah.
It's pretty wacky.
Uh-oh.
It's very Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Another turning point.
It reminds me of the Rembrandts.
Yeah, I'll be there for you.
Oh, I did one too clap. One too many claps.
No, I did too many. We'll get it.
It's so fun.
We should start a band.
No.
It's just
you
a clap.
It. You missed it.
It's fine.
Yeah, wow.
I mean,
that's like a camp song.
Yeah. It feels very much like, okay, everybody, take a spotter on the fire, yeah. Papa Squat, crisscross applesauce.
If you haven't been here before, that's totally cool. We just kind of keep it casual here at Christ Life.
What did we say? We give all the new kids a big round of applause.
Yeah. It's a journey.
Well, I think that's they were aware that was the vibe of the song, and as such, were extremely embarrassed about it, because I don't know if you guys remember. Well, of course, none of us remember, but are aware of how punk was so exclusive and insular and so quick to be like, oh, you're a fucking sellout.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, so immediately.
Yeah, and they also didn't like the skinny jeans look or something. Yeah. Like, there's like,
which I mean, have now adopted. Like,
I'm relieved to say I think that mentality has more or less died.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Punk,
well, punk is dead, right?
Yeah, well, right? I kind of feel like Green Day actually maybe were the last band to really face that so aggressively.
And where it was an actual like Billboard discussion.
I feel like when punk got diversified, people stopped caring about what the image meant, and then they were just kind of like, okay, well, if everyone's punk, then no one's punk.
Well, or even like, oh, you did an acoustic song, you fucking pussy.
Right.
Or you went to a major label, fuck you.
I think punk rock died when comedy adapted it.
Yeah, when Blink-182 became a band.
The state ruined it.
Our homies a little punk rock.
Yeah.
But like, actually get this, because Billy Joe Armstrong said to Spin Magazine in 2010, that was really the first time we attempted a ballad. The first time we ever played that song was during an encore in New Jersey. I had to pound a beer backstage to get up the courage. I knew we were going to take a tomato in the face.
Whoa.
Is that not crazy that was the climate at that time?
Kind of get a little sensitive for a second.
Why did they just not perform it then?
I don't know. I think maybe they wanted to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing about the relationship between the audience and the musician. It's like, I get that you want to please your fans and that fans want you to do what they want, but ultimately you get to be in charge of what the fuck you make.
Right.
That's like so hard. That's so hard to propel an entire genre on like aggression.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's how it started though.
Yeah,
right?
I guess.
And then the other thing I'll say is that on May 28th, 2015, Rolling Stone named Good Riddance as one of the 20 best graduation songs.
Oh my God.
There are 20?
I bet we can name like,
A Day in the... No, not what I meant to say.
A Day in the Life.
Not The Day in the Life. What's the one that's called There Are Places I Remember... Oh, In My Life.
In My...
Also by the Beatles.
Yeah.
Vitamin C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original Paco Bell's canon, I think.
Oh, yeah, because that's what you walk down...
The aisle to?
Yeah.
Yep. I think that is all I can think of. Maybe, like... that one Death Cab for Cutie song.
Celebrate good times, come on.
Oh, what about, School's Out for Summer. This is really good air, guys. I was just trying to think of other songs.
Yeah. I was like, I Miss You by Blink-182. I'm like, no, what?
Where are you?
Oh, I loved
honestly,
high school.
No, probably yes.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard the doom, boom, bow, wow on so many graduation slideshows.
Oh, that'd be so sad to have to be like, webs from all the spiders. And it's like,
I miss you.
That was during my photo.
Then, I mean, also like Jordan Creek Elementary where I went,
Whoa, dox yourself.
Jordan Creek?
I mean, what would happen?
They're going to go back and destroy all the yearbooks you're
in. Well, Time of Your Life from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. I think so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Anything with time and life in it probably got in there.
Yeah, time, life.
But I want to give Billy Joe some credit because he really seems to have taken this in stride, which as like a punk rock, I mean, maybe now I get why he'd be like fine with it, but I might be a little pissed if people misinterpreted my song to be about like high school.
Yeah.
It was like supposed to be sarcastic. But he said the people that you grew up and braved the trials of high school with will always hold a special place through all the BS of high school. You hope that your friends had the time of their life. And that's what this song's talking about.
Nah.
No, it's not. It's about your girlfriend moving to Ecuador, dude.
We know.
Can't fool us, bro.
It's funny that he did sort of just kind of adapt what the public image of his song was as opposed to just admitting what it is. Because I feel like so many artists would be like, when I wrote it, it was about this. And he was just like, it's whatever you want it to be now. I'm not going to talk about
that's like enlightened and mature.
Yeah.
You're in like your, he's in like his 30th year of being rock and roll.
Yeah, I think Green Day formed in 86.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
And I saw Green Day 2 years ago at the Rose Bowl.
So jealous.
It was, I mean, like as a person who was around when the American Idiot tour was like, truly, I mean, like the album American Idiot.
Fantastic.
Hit my school district like a wet cement truck.
Like norovirus.
Like
we all got a little emo.
We all wore skinny ties.
Yeah. We were like, wow, we all like the boy with the swoopy hair now, I guess.
I was so into Green Day. Like I remember, do you remember when Zenga was big?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I would like make Zenga layouts with like lyrics from I want to say Letterbomb, and I was just so obsessed with, like getting it all right and getting the font like differences
amazing.
Down. I was fucking
they're
way
iconic
into it.
And I could talk for an hour about how they walked so the future of rock could
And I think that they're just like one of the best examples of like a good normie rock band from the mid-aughts, even though they like had cool beginnings.
But that's only their like one incantation.
Yeah, but
they were such punk rockers when they started.
Yeah.
They really evolved.
But they've taken their new career thing in like very good stride. They're like, we like we'll play the iHeartRadio festival, but like but like we're all dads, so we're fine. We like each other. Yeah.
When did they adopt the skinny tie? Look,
that was the American Idiot tour, I think.
Is it? I feel like it's still their thing.
I do not know.
I think he's lessened up on the eyeliner, but he still is just like so. He's just like
he
a
rocks.
Click and drag maximalized version of himself. Really, like, still in ratio, everything checks out.
Just content aware scaled up to a larger size.
Oh my god, he did a Trump rant.
Of course he did.
I was like, this is getting political.
I know. Where's our American Idiot 2? I'm ready for it.
I just, it's so funny to see the songs that were written way before Trump that now when they're performed, like, they get cheers just because people can be like, kind of like Trump.
The people at the Rose Bowl in 2017 were going to, like, pop their tops off to American Idiot.
When we saw Radiohead, they did, they did fucking what song? No Surprises. And when they said Bring Down the Government, everyone's like,
No, we've all been fully radicalized. Yeah. I'm an anarchist now.
Throw a brick.
Yeah, I was in Pasadena drinking a 32-ounce margarita that I'd paid like $60
for. Hell yeah.
What better way to see Green Day,
and
truly?
And that's Trump's fault.
And that's, thanks, Trump. Yeah.
Let's maybe move away from that conversation topic. And I will say that if you haven't heard the song from every single person that just learned how to play guitar at that kickback where there's like a bonfire, which of course I think we've all had that experience, actually was also used in the penultimate Seinfeld episode in a scene where the cast takes a nostalgic look back at all the adventures they had on the show.
Seriously?
Holy shit.
Yes.
Oh my God. This is unearthing a repressed memory.
That's so funny.
It was also in like a really special episode of ER.
I think it was also in the first clip show they did on Rugrats.
Whoa, no.
130 years
ago. Yeah, 130 years ago.
On this very night.
I remember. Because it was played on a gramophone.
It gives me the feeling that, like, the final song in episodes of Laguna Beach gives me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like forced nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's like Ben Folds.
Yeah. Or even just like, I'm thinking about learning how to play guitar and being like, I just want to learn how to play Good Riddance.
Yeah.
Just so I can impress everybody because it's four chords the whole time.
I feel like everyone has like one song that they learned to play guitar for.
What was yours?
I don't remember. I truly do not remember. Before we move on, I feel like I want to just play a little bit of the mashup that you sent me.
Oh, Jesus. It's not good.
Okay. What?
No, it's not.
Here's what I'd like to say before playing that. This is a very basic major chord, like four chord progression. You could virtually mash this up with anything. Yeah. It's not difficult.
I think these songs were only mashed up because this song is also in G major.
They fucked it up somehow.
When you oh.
Demi. This is not the mashup.
This is not the mashup.
He tricked me.
That sucked. That
it still sucks though, Demi.
My brows will never be unfurrowed. I'm so concerned. I'm so concerned for what aurally just happened to my brain.
No, it was Christ. The mashup she sent me was Creep with this song, and I have a recurring bit where I trick her into listening to Weezer's Beverly Hills. Because every song sounds like Beverly Hills.
I feel like you just awakened a sleeper cell.
Yeah. Remember the rage you talked about in volleyball?
Yeah.
I'm feeling that now.
Ooh.
And I don't have a volleyball to spike at his egghead.
Kimmy.
Oh my God.
Should we get into it?
Let's get into it. I would like to also note, last thing, the album version is different than the radio version, and that the album version has a fun little intro we will listen to now.
Oh yeah. I love that little and the fact that you can hear the metronome.
That's Where's My Snare for alt kids, right?
Yeah. Or well, how does the ooh, stop? Yeah. Fucking Where's My Mind? I feel like they just had to get a little bit of punk energy in there before they like sang a beautiful song.
I love a blooper in a song.
I love a blooper. Unless it's You're Beautiful by James Blunt. Then I don't like it. Yeah.
Stay away, James Blunt.
My life is brilliant. Oh, not right now. Right now. Okay. Take it back. Keep going. All right. Just keep it in.
I'm trying to even think of all the other ones that I know. And like, there
all
aren't.
The bloopers.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so punky. It's so funky.
Ooh, we're down to earth and humble.
Yeah.
And Wannabe has the laugh at the top.
Hail to the Thief opens with Tom York. What? It's relevant.
We're going to like number ones. And you're like, let's see. This is
That's exactly why I just started saying, like, I can't think of one except for this one. He plugs in an audio cord and says, like, we're on. And Tom York says, that's a nice way to start, Johnny. Like, he's just giving him shit for it.
I will say, like, Drake has a lot of these, but they all seem super planned.
Oh, they're absolutely
the beginning
planned.
Of Passion Fruit.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Have more drink. I'm going to sound a whole lot better.
Who are you, Drake?
I think someone wrote those. I think Drake has a writer's room for his
ad-libs.
Yeah, asides, yeah.
I worked a day on that one.
And you're like, this sucks.
I came up with it. Yeah.
Yeah. I came in for punch-ups, but it was already more than done. Okay, fuck. Song starts with a fuck. So it's punk rock.
Yeah,
I like that.
And they left the metronome in. That's super punk rock.
It's very punk rock.
Yeah.
It's so pretty.
Yeah, it's like buttery.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, what is there to say?
I'm like,
go
wistful.
On. I know.
It immediately makes you wistful.
I want to text my friends from 2006.
Do you think that if you had never heard this song before and right now was the first time you were ever hearing it, you would have the same response?
Wow. Well,
it's hard to separate.
Nostalgia?
Yeah.
Is that what you're...
Whoa. I don't think I would.
Yeah. It just sounds like a pretty average guitar song.
Yeah.
And also it sounds... Well, again, this is me... I already know this song, but it does sound like a song you've already heard before. Like, it's not very interesting.
Yeah. I'm sure there are like 100, if not 10,000 songs that have this exact same chord progression.
But I do think I agree with that producer guy where, like, as soon as the strings.
Yeah.
I mean, not to spoiler alert.
Strings are coming.
Yeah. Like, right now, I'm a little like, okay, yeah. This sounds nice.
It sounds like. In all the songwriting classes I used to take, the song that every like 18-year-old guy would bring in sounds like all of those.
What, like they brought in songs for examination?
Yeah, to be critiqued.
Yeah, this,
they always sounded like this.
If this were a GarageBand file, it'd be like untitled song 7.
Exactly. And actually, if you play that again, I feel like you can sing like every song in the world over it and they all work.
I mean, we already know Beverly Hills sounds exactly like that.
Yeah, but if you were like... Oh, shit. You're chained to... I can't sing this loud.
I was like, I don't even know what you're singing.
Or it's like, I found you, Miss
Where are you? It's every song.
Yeah.
Boom. Wild dogs are going tonight. I mean, we could keep going.
Honestly, if someone brought a guitar to a party, just played that, I'd be like, he's not causing that much trouble.
He ain't doing no harm to nobody.
We don't have to put an end to it right now. Like, he's harmless.
It's very neutral.
Yeah,
I think it's
very neutral.
Like second tier of guitar songs that I never want to hear played at a party.
Yeah.
Where it's like, first Wonderwall is, straight up don't do it.
Oh, I would say Say It Ain't So is number one.
I think this would be a crazy song to put on in a group of more than four people because you're so, you're being such an architect of the strange mood.
Absolutely.
Yes! Oh my God! That is like the subtitle under half the people I know.
Architects of a strange mood.
It's my favorite
I know
band.
I've been the architect of a strange mood before.
But only for comedic effect, right? I definitely have just casually put on a horrible song and been like, who's going to say something?
I've been like, there's like a group of seven people and I'm like, oh, why don't we put on like a season three episode of Dawson's Creek?
I have an extended version of Dance Yourself Clean where it never drops for like eight minutes
that I
sometimes
like
put on.
You.
No, that I sometimes put on just to see if anyone will notice, and it always takes way too long.
That would make me furious. Again,
it's
we're talking about volleyball levels of rage. I would be so furious if I went to go da-da-da-da and it never happened.
The thing is, I put it on in scenarios where people aren't listening, so they don't notice anyway.
Like, Jesus. The second time I listened to Dance Yourself Clean, it felt that long.
Yeah.
Because I, like, as soon as the beat dropped, like, the first time I heard it, I was like, this is the greatest song I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, in the background of, like, a snowboarding video that my oldest brother sent
hell
me.
Yeah.
And it was, like, the first time we were trying to
that.
Bond with each other.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Sell you a GoPro.
I was like, this rules.
Hey, brother, are we friends?
Yeah. Hey, brother, I really respect that you sent me that snowboarding video.
Was that Warren Miller? I mean, yeah, you could put on, you know, Dawson's Creek, or you could do what I do and put on Can't Find the Moonlight by Coyote Ugly.
And just like, I love the when you do it and you just kind of play it and walk away. And
yeah.
You're like, no, let the experiment begin. Yeah.
And then you see people kind of perking up, and then some people are trying to figure it out, and then some people figure it out, and you're like, okay, you're my true friends. Because you know the Leanne Rimes original soundtrack to Coyote Ugly.
Oh,
we are friends for life.
Or you have the experience where no one ever notices, and you're like, what am I doing this
now,
for?
Now yeah. I just seem like a fucking weirdo.
No, I think.
Was any of this for me? Was like, what?
To me, no one noticing it is the best case scenario, because I feel like if you put on a weird song, people notice they either hate it or they love it. If they love it, you're like, oh, okay, good. Everyone thinks it's a fun thing. If they don't notice it, you got away with it.
We keep saying like weird song, and I'm thinking of the person who would like purposefully put on like zany haunted house songs. And like,
I did do that once.
What? This is what I listened to.
I did exactly that with creaky, spooky sounds and like Foley sounds for Halloween at a party.
Yeah, no, I've been to that college party.
Or you make your own versions of songs with like added sound effects.
Yep. Yeah, no, I've done that. In fact, I'm surprised people haven't done that with the Punch Up the Jam songs. Just about to be like, what? Is this guy singing about jerking off? What is this?
Oh, put on our version of Thousand Miles and just see if it was... Wait, all of the lyrics are gone.
Walking fast.
I bet you're going to get tweets that people are like, I've done that, actually.
I want video.
It's a fun bit. This song would be a strong choice to do that with because... It's not quite lame enough that people would know you're kidding.
Yes.
So it'd be a risk to your reputation.
I think my punch up is a version that you could possibly play at a party.
Okay, we have to move on then because I'm too excited to hear it.
Okay, next clip.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road.
I want to sing so bad.
Yeah.
Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go.
Ooh. Ooh. It
Billy
just, it comes.
Joe is like a sweet little boy.
Yeah.
I know.
Have you seen that video where he's just like sitting in his apartment, just like banging up chords?
No,
I heard the
I'm
video
not.
Was his idea.
Oh, it's like so gentle.
Story by Billy Joe Armstrong.
Oh, what a gentle little punk.
I also just love, I mean, okay, I'm really having a hard time coming to terms with the fact that this is sarcastic. Because my heartstrings are being pulled, and then I'm like, wait, this is a fuck you to a girlfriend.
I wonder if it had different lyrics when it was completely a fuck you.
I don't think so. I think he wrote it, and then they just kept trying to make it. Because the lyrics to the 1995 version are the same, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I guess.
I didn't listen to the whole
thing. It's so... Oh, the one I played? Yes, they are the same.
So another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Quick bone to pick. Fork in the road is like two roads splitting apart from each other. How is it stuck?
I think he's just mixing up like the metaphor of a fork with
an actual fork.
Yeah.
It's a pitchfork stuck in the road.
This is
fork
so you have
in
to pick
the
which
road.
It's risky considering like the primo, not how you say that word, demographic. For
I like it.
Thank you. I'm just trying to see how many mean tweets I can get. The primo demographique.
That's Spanish for prime and then also French for demographic.
Demographique of the song. is high schoolers. And at that point in your life, I don't think you're confident in calling out a fork stuck in the road. Is that right or wrong? So you might actually say that and incorporate it into your vernacular only to be made fun of years later.
Yeah, it's like I just read Robert Frost for the first time. Yes. I don't know anything about poetic.
Miles to go before I slap.
Whoa. That's what they say. That's what they say when you're making a banger, but it's not quite there yet.
And miles to go before I slap. And miles to go before I slap.
But that bass is dark and deep.
This actually is a sick screamo song.
Oh, miles great. We got to what's that poem called?
The walk in snowy woods.
The road less traveled.
No, that's a different
poem. Well, that's a different one. This was like the weary traveler.
No, yeah, I was doing the one whose woods these are, I think I know. Not...
What is that? The Raven?
No,
no, okay. It's Robert Frost.
I had like low grade insomnia in high school, and I like
Bragmore.
I'm gonna look
it
this
up. It was depression.
Yeah, who knew?
Who knew? What the heck? And
you stayed up reading Robert Frost for
my
fun?
MySpace quotes section.
The road not taken
was like three like Flight of the Conchords quotes,
oh, girl.
And then like. And miles to go before I sleep.
Wow, I immediately know you.
Yeah, I'm
I know
so
you
sorry.
So well now. Also, I appreciate how much you're sharing.
Yeah,
you're being so vulnerable.
I haven't opened up like this to anyone
since that day in volleyball when I screamed.
Stopping by woods on a snowy evening.
That's the
bad.
One I memorized.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
relevant to the fork in the road conversation. Well, just the only one I had memorized.
Is the road not taken? Is the fork in the road?
Yes.
A fork stuck in. Oh, so it's like, these paths aren't going to join, baby. This fork is stuck in the road.
Unless, it's a permanent one.
Unless he meant it like, you know, the phrase, stick a fork in you, you're done. As in, like, mm-hmm. the road, we're not on that anymore.
Or like when you prank, like, the high school quarterback and you fork his yard.
What?
I've heard of this prank,
is this
but please elaborate.
Iowa thing? What is this?
No, okay, I did not make this.
No, I've definitely heard of this
please
before.
Go
I don't
on.
Think,
don't
I've
know.
Never forked someone's yard.
What? Okay, it sounds like you're saying fuck wrong.
Yeah, it sounds like we're in the good
I've
place.
I've never forked someone's yard.
Please explain yourself.
So you get disposable cutlery.
Oh my god.
And you go around and you stick hundreds of forks in the grass. Yeah. And I
think it's so much time.
It leaves
it's
the holes.
So much time. And no one ever I think pranks were bigger in small towns in Iowa. And I was from a metropolitan town in Iowa.
Wow, again, brag more.
Yeah. We were a 4A football team.
So what's the point of this prank? You just come out and there's a bunch of forks in your yard?
Yeah, and then your dad gets angry.
I think it also leaves a bunch of tiny holes that are hard to
actually aerates the lawn.
No, that's
so,
good for your lawn,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, I don't know.
So then
what a great prank.
But I think it's like there's no easy way to do it in bulk.
No, you have to go through one at a time.
Yeah.
But that's a prank for you too, because you just spent like two hours stabbing forks.
That's so much manual.
Just do what we did and play car dodgeball and be done with it.
What's
car dodgeball?
No. That's not a thing outside of the island. I know that because everyone I've told
about
it gets
upset. Are you in a contained lot or is
no,
this
you're,
just full,
it's all
full
of
map.
Town.
Explain.
The town is the perimeter.
Wait, what is car dodgeball?
You have your parents' shitty minivan that they let you use for school, and you take it out on a Friday night with your friends, and then there you have another one. So, you know, two groups of people, two shitty cars, you get a big ass ball, and you drive around town trying to find each other and hit each other with the ball.
Oh.
In the car. You try to drive away. It's very illegal.
Okay. It's the only way you lose is if you die horrifically.
I think if you get hit and then like can't find the other team within a certain amount of time. But frankly, I don't totally remember.
Yeah, no.
It feels very easy to hide.
Sometimes games, much like inside jokes, just had no logical end
no,
when
no,
you're a
no.
teenager.
No. Oh, no. But that was the point of being a teenager,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're just perpetuating a feeling.
Do you ever have nightmares still about games you played as a kid?
No. What games did you play that make you... What?
Yeah, no, just in the sense of like...
Like you killed animals for ritual sacrifice.
No, like I sometimes have like nightmares where it's like, fuck, did I ever find that guy when we played hide and seek?
No, Jesus. This isn't just you.
Ooh, that's specific.
I was thinking,
it's
like,
fine. I'll see a psychiatrist by the time this is out.
You know when you'd have those like friends you'd pile on?
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes have like wake up in the middle of the night and I was like, were we too mean?
Yeah. No, yes, definitely.
That's
I've had that.
The,
I know yeah. for a fact I was too mean for one kid in high school, but I was trying to be nice.
Yeah.
I love that like this song has just brought all of this out of us.
Hey, it's something unpredictable.
We are one line into the song and we're like, hey guys, what do we do in high school? Yeah, were we bullies?
Should we call those people and apologize to them on air?
It's something unpredictable, but in the end, it's right.
We're not even there yet. He said, time grabs you
by
the wrist.
A fork stuck in the road.
Right. And then time grabs you by the wrist.
Father time, I presume.
And well, that's rude. And directs you where to go. I don't know that I agree with that. That's just
predestination.
Principle.
Yeah,
that's like some fate shit. Mm-hmm. But I do. I appreciate the poetic license in an otherwise punk band.
Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where
because
to
like, there's
go.
No choice there. You have to just go with time,
yeah. right? And again, if we're reading this as I think intended, sarcastically, these lyrics are great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all like very glib.
Yeah.
Oh, another turning point. Guess time's just gonna take you where you're gonna go, huh?
Time is a stand-in for the Ecuadorian girlfriend's dad.
Yeah. Or like mission trip. I don't know what the fuck she was doing.
Yeah. Maybe it was just like
she was just volunteering like a real bitch.
A week vacation with her family.
Yeah.
He's in like sixth grade too, so it's, yeah.
We've been dating for 2 days.
I mean, if we're talking about high school, yeah, true. Okay, then what does he say?
So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time.
I love how his voice goes up there.
I love the way his voice sounds.
He has such like a specific little timbre.
His voice also just naturally sounds sarcastic. Like, another turning point, a fuck stick in. It just sounds like he's joking.
I wonder if that's what he was going for.
His voice sounds like this on every song.
True.
To me.
It's like, again, I know I've already said this, but I will say it again. Billy Joe Armstrong walked so that Tom DeLonge could run.
Yes, yeah. Both of them have a very loose understanding of vowels.
Yes. Like, you're saying such simple words that are so easy to understand, and yet somehow I can't understand you.
In that case, I wish both of them had jogged, because they're both a little too far in either way.
I agree. So make the best of them test and don't ask why. That's like, melodically, I do
I can't
like
make that
it
noise.
Is like Diet Dylan.
Diet Dylan.
Diet Dylan?
Yeah.
That is who it is.
Another turning point. Fuck stuck in the
Oh, man.
Road.
Do you think that the Wallflowers guy wished that he was called Diet Dylan?
Jacob Dylan?
He's more like Dylan Zero.
You think he's just like really hoping for comparisons?
Caffeine
to his dad?
Dylan.
Even if it's like he's worse. But it's like, yeah, but we're related.
Bob Dylan is 7-Up and he's the DNL.
Diet.
You
Diet Niera List.
No, you guys remember DNL. It was literally the 7-Up.
Dick Nuckin List.
Dick Nuckin.
I had nothing. I started and I had nothing.
It was when they just turned the 7-Up logo upside down and it read like DNL.
When was this?
Yeah, who did this?
Through the 2000s.
Is this one of those things you have nightmares about?
No, this is.
Did I dream this?
This is one of the things we're going to get a bunch of tweets like, no, I also remember
is this
DNL.
Like the Pen 15 Club for Christians?
Yes.
For Christians. This was like the youth group Pen 15. Guys, if you turn up sound, it's a DNL.
No, it was sold by 7-Up as DNL.
Oh, where they're like, it's cranberry and. No, it's
no,
diet.
It was literally the same thing, guys.
Just the label was upside down.
Yeah, well, yes.
Is it possible your town got a misprint of
7-Up?
No,
was,
this
Google
is the
this.
Second time we've had a passionate discussion about lemon lime flavored sodas.
It is?
What you guys talk about
time?
Sprite? We were like, when did Sierra Mist come out?
Oh,
was
yeah.
it a recent invention?
What was that? We went to go see Mitski and we just got distracted before
yeah, really
the show.
Distracted.
Was it because Mitski's an anagram for Sierra Mist?
Oh my God.
Okay,
DNL, baby.
Demi's showing us a picture of something I can't see.
Read it!
I
read
believe
it
you.
And weep, ladies.
Truthfully, I believe you and also don't care, and I'm so sorry for making you talk about this for so long.
Oh, it was introduced the year after September 11. Like
Man.
A year from
So
it.
2012?
No, September of 2002. When do you think September 11th happened?
I always think it's 2011. I
have
a
that's
problem.
When the Nicolas Cage movie Knowing came out.
Why do you know that?
It might not be true. Confidence first. Hey, what is it? Don't ask permission. Apologize after. What is
We're
it?
Feminists
Don't
on this show.
Don't ask for permission. Ask
it's
for forgiveness.
It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah.
So Yuck. Make the best of this test and don't ask why. What? I disagree with that hard and
is
firm.
The fork in the road the
test
for their
the test.
Relationship?
Yeah, that's really good.
Hmm.
Yeah, or time testing you.
Time test.
It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time. This mixed metaphor is kind of bothering me now.
What do you mean it's not a question? When was it ever a question?
I think like you can't, there's no point in asking what's going to happen because time will tell you.
Yeah, you're like powerless.
Mm-hmm. But again, if we're reading this like, oh, this is just an angry letter to my girlfriend that's choosing to leave me to go to fucking Ecuador. So I guess make the bet of don't ask why. You'll just learn in time, huh? Yeah.
That's really funny.
It's like very threatening.
If he's a teenager when he wrote this.
I don't
For
think.
Him to be like two or however old when he was a little baby writing about his little baby girlfriend.
He definitely could have been. I don't know what year he was born and I don't care enough to look it up.
No.
I'm going to say 70.
I like people being wise to people their own age.
Yes. Of course, we all like that, which is why I don't like that time grabs you by the wrist, because, like, time's old.
Yeah.
So, like, don't tell me what to do. You know what I mean? Like, there's a power dynamic
here.
Yeah,
that's ageist.
You're right. Actually, I apologize to all of our 10,000-year-old listeners.
You're timeless. And
also, time is much older than 10,000 years.
Time is your daddy.
No, the earth is 6,000 years old.
We're moving on. Anything else to say about this part?
Well, it feels like the song, when you're not reading it as the writings of a jilted lover, it's just him sort of talking about, like, it sounds like something shitty happened, and to everyone that uses it as a graduation song, it's really just like, hey, something bad happened, don't ask questions about it, in the end it'll be okay, just, I hope you enjoyed what happened.
So is the bad thing just that we all have to leave each other?
I guess.
Yeah, it's like the inevitability of parting.
Oh, there is something so unbelievably heavy about that.
Yeah, no, that's what made me sob for an hour and 15 minutes
in elementary school.
Yeah.
So wait, how hard did you cry at high school graduation then?
Oh, not that hard. I figured it out.
Man, I cried my whole high school graduation and I didn't even like high school.
I feel like I was very much like, I don't want to do this. Like, I just want to go. I don't care about any of this.
Yeah. Huh. I just felt sad of that, like, the marking of the passage of time. That just bummed me out really hard.
Mm-hmm. I mainly cried because I was breaking up with my high school boyfriend to go to college because he was a year younger than me.
Okay, so many brags in everything you just said. I had a boyfriend.
High school boyfriend.
He was a doctor, cougar, by the way.
Yeah, he was a younger boy.
Oh, that's so sad, though. You knew you were going to break up before you graduated.
Yeah, I was super logic. I was a real analytical baby.
Wow.
I was like, it's mature.
I could have done good hanging out with you more. That would have benefited my personality a lot. Okay, so then he's going to, let's guess, say something smart.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
great thinker of our time.
I don't think we can predict what he's going to say.
Nice.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
There's the strings.
Those strings.
I like that.
Huh. I love that they don't come in all the way at first.
Yeah.
Slow fade. Also, I can only presume if it was 15, 20, 30 minutes at most, and the boys were just playing foosball in the other room, these are not real strings. Just a hunch.
Well, it's like, the low one is like three notes, right?
Or yeah, it's like...
No, it's four.
I mean, I would like to pay attention because I could be wrong. They could have had session players and the foosball table was just far enough away when interrupt recording. But I would like to figure out by end of track if it's real or not.
Well, I mean, I have the stems. I could pull them out and check. But also, how
much
do
we... Let's figure it out during the song.
Okay.
It's more of a challenge.
Speaking of figuring things out, why don't we take a break and come back... Don't know how the segue works. We'll be right back.
That was so good.
We're back and we figured it out how to go on.
That, whoa. What? Nope.
No?
I didn't.
All right.
I don't know how to move on from that segue.
Well,
I'll tell you what. Let's do the lyrics. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. Hope you had the time of your life. Now I really feel that that's like meant to be mean.
That means the least sense to me of all the lyrics. Like, I can definitely use fork stuck in the road. I'm like, yeah, I know what you are trying to say.
Right. But this is, it's something unpredictable. Okay, so I guess we're not just talking about life and or the passing of time.
Yeah, I think that goes with the it's not a question thing.
Yes, yes.
Okay, but in the end, it's right. Okay, is that an allusion to that John Lennon quote about in the end, it's right, and if it's not right, it's not the end, or whatever it is?
I do not know that quote.
Wow.
I don't know. I think that's
what
it is.
I could believe it was a reference to that quote. But I also have never known that quote.
Right. That, I mean, if it is alluding to something, that makes a lot more sense because that combination of words doesn't really ring.
Right? Or else he's just trying to be like, oh, no, it's right that we break up. Yeah, no, sounds, I wanted this too.
This sounds like a song written by someone dumping someone else.
Yeah.
Also, in the end, it's right is the closest to connecting with Good Riddance, where it's like, actually, I'm better off. Yeah.
It's literally like, good. Like, it's not a mean way to say good riddance. It's like, this is good that we're getting rid of.
It's like whatever. when you're really dumped by someone, you're like, I've learned a lot. I'm better off.
Yeah.
I actually was going to break up with you anyways.
Yeah.
That seems to be a common theme with some of the songs we've done, predominantly written by straight men, where like they start to share a little and then they immediately pull back and are like, actually, never mind. It's fine. I actually don't care about you and I never did. So this is your loss.
Mm. Yeah. CeeLo Green's fuck you.
I'm sorry. Wasn't that written by Bruno Mars? Yeah, I think so. Could be
I
wrong.
I do not know.
Could
when
be
in
wrong.
Doubt, Mark Ronson.
Yeah, that's true.
I do that for my recipes too. Yeah, it always turns out.
You Mark Ronson?
Yeah. Mm. It's a spice. It sells a lot of spice bottles. I don't have anything.
The spice bottles fly off the shelf at the Music Factory.
Not as well as the Spice Girls.
It works with Lady Gaga. It's just another spice.
A perfect metaphor.
Yeah, I'm actually as good at metaphors as Billy Joe Armstrong. Thank you. I also can't say Billy Joe Armstrong without trying to say Billy Joel.
I keep thinking you go Billy Joe, and I just am like, oh, I didn't hear you say the L.
No, it's a silent L.
What would Billy Joel Armstrong even be?
Armstrong.
I'll take you on.
Armstrong to take on anyone.
Wow, what a missed opportunity with Trapped.
Yeah, Billy Joel Trapped Armstrong.
Also, like, I feel so bad. This might not make sense to anyone other than me, and now that I'm saying out loud, I don't think it will, but let me say it anyway. His name's Billy Joe, which sounds like Billy Joel, and his last name's Armstrong, which sounds so much like Livestrong, which was so popular during the American Idiot era, that I'm like, all of your names sound derivative from other names.
I think because I saw the title of this movie so much when I was a kid that it's just ingrained in my head every time I hear the word Billy. I just keep thinking Billy Elliot.
Have you seen it?
No.
I like that it's Billy great. Elliot was everywhere in your childhood.
I know, it's a kind of obscure movie, I thought.
I think it was just because I went to Blockbuster all the time and I would just see it and be like, huh.
It was good.
Are you ever?
Oh, I believe it.
Is it Billy Elliot, Elton John, Billy Joel?
Ooh.
Whoa. I'm about to hemorrhage. You must stop.
Maybe. Wait, and start the fire.
That's another episode.
No, so, I was saying because... That would be what it sounded like if it was Billy Joel. Never mind. We'll move on.
I was trying to help you segue back. Because the song, I don't know what to say about it, truthfully. I've heard it so many times. I have no fresh take on it.
Yeah, it was almost nice to have an excuse to listen to it critically because... Yeah. Like, my little heart has hardened so much that when I hear this, I'm like, next. Yeah.
Yeah, you hear that boom, ba damn, boom. You're like, no, thank you.
Embarrassed of how open of a wound it used to be.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't have any honest emotions tied to this song. Like, I can't remember it being used for anything without being like, was it actually used for that? Or have I made the joke that it would be used for that so often that I think it was?
And as like I'm a proud normie. And
hell yeah.
So, high school, I graduated to Coldplay. So.
Okay, Coldplay rules, though.
No, yeah.
Well, not modern Coldplay, but Coldplay pre-2007 rules.
Welcome to my TED Talk. I'm going to talk about, the progression of Coldplay's career.
She's pro Milo Xyloto.
Oh my God, I'm pro Milo Xyloto.
Wow.
There's a really good EP, Every Teardrop is a Waterfall, with a really good song, Moving to Mars.
I couldn't tell you one of their songs past Viva La Vida.
I know, up until Viva La Vida, everything, and then nothing past.
I could, like, depending, if I had, like, one beer in me, I'd be like, actually, Ghost Stories is really good, too.
But without the beer, it's bad.
Is Sky Full of Stars after that?
Sky Full of Stars is a Ghost Story. I hate that I'm like, oh, yeah, I know all these Fast Four shows.
I mean...
Jossie, I should redo your intro as Coldplay aficionado.
Yeah. Expert in the field.
Playing cold.
Yes.
There is something that feels like home about this section of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when the strings start to come in.
Yeah.
They probably like return to the one chord or something. But like it feels, there is some energy there.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's like amazing.
Yeah.
And I also don't know that it would exist without the nostalgia attached to it.
Yeah, and then also I know I've just like ignored this song enough at malls and swimming pools to like you kind of divorce yourself from the pressure point after you've done that like 100 times.
Or more.
It feels like the strings build on the song in the way that turn it from just like something that is like, you know, like the original version where it's just a man and a guitar where it's like this could be anything, it means nothing, but the strings make it feel like, I don't know, warmer.
Yeah.
It feels like a real song then.
Yeah. It's like a radio hit now.
Yeah.
And I think that like pre-chorus, the only difference chord-wise is like an E minor or whatever. So like we're really staying in the same like sound the whole song.
Yeah.
So we need those strings in a bad way to not just get so bored.
Yeah, that'd be such an unnotable song.
Right? I also would like to take this time to say that my class, we subverted the cliche and we actually didn't use this. You know what we used? The 59th Street Bridge song.
I don't know that song.
Did
Doo-doo-doo, feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy.
Okay, you have such a quirky lifestyle in high school between this and Car Dodgeball. This is like...
Car Dodgeball and Simon and Garfunkel. The sounds of my youth. That's my cover of The Sounds of Silence. Just a ball hit the car. And then we move on to the second verse with a little more strings.
So take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Hanging on a shelf in good health and good time.
This entire verse is where I start to go, what are we talking about?
Yeah, this is the point where if everyone's singing along, everyone's like, and take the...
It's the Auld Lang Syne verse. Yeah. For no one knows the words.
I wasn't paying attention to the words because I was trying to hear if that was like a cello or a bass in there.
So take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Hang it on a shelf in good health and good time.
And good health and good time.
Yeah.
So it's like return to those memories when you're healthy enough to, because fuck you right now. You went to Ecuador.
Man, those are kind of good lyrics, I think.
No, I think they are.
Yeah.
I think, like, as much as we can, like, shit on Green Day, they're, like, good songwriters.
I have no intention of shitting on Green Day.
Kind of, like, what I like about the saccharine quality of this is it's almost like a Renaissance poem.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Photographs in your mind in good health and good time.
Yeah, if you just, like, put a lute under there.
Or, like, harpsichord the guitar.
Ooh, yes. I would actually, I now kind of wish I had done the punch-up and that's all I did.
Yeah, just
made
it,
this sound like it was, like, playing at Lancelot's wedding. I actually think this is kind of poetic, although with the sarcastic lens, it's, like, pretty shitty.
Yes.
It's like, oh, yeah, so just remember the good times and just put them up for later, I guess, when you feel like thinking about me.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, oh, I'll just be sitting on the shelf. Collecting dust.
Imagine ironically writing something that is a beautiful, like, treatise to fate.
That sounds like all of the poetry I wrote in high school.
Just ironically just going, take those photographs and still frames in your mind.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
I wonder, though, if even that story about it all being shitty isn't, like, however that originally came out, I would assume he said something. How else would anyone know, right? That maybe if there is a little bit more sentiment in here than he initially let on. That maybe he just was like, oh, it's all sarcastic.
Yeah. Again, like, defense mechanism.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it, like, he wasn't even, like, hard enough about it to just call it good riddance. He still was like, time of your life.
I have a feeling whatever record label they were with was like, no, we got to call it what you actually say in this song. Although I wish that if you, like, played it backwards, there was a good riddance in there or something.
Oh, my God. Like, Beatles White Album.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Also, like, good riddance, I've never heard anyone say other than my grandmother.
Really?
Yeah, she used to say good riddance to bad rubbish, but, like, about people. It's, like, pretty harsh, actually. A real harsh Southern belle, I guess.
I feel like I've heard people say that when you're in, like, a public transportation situation and, like, the person causing the problem leaves.
Oh, I feel like I hear
In a crowded subway car.
Yes, and, like, someone breaks attention.
Yeah. And remember the good riddance. Cheer.
I feel like I hear it all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
In what context?
Anyone says anything is gone, like, okay, good riddance.
Seriously? Or, like, with a funny voice to be like, well, that's not something I actually say.
Both?
Like,
I don't know.
Like one of these. Like, here's an example. Example A. Okay, say, oh, they left.
James just got out of here.
Oh, good riddance. Can I do it again?
So James just bounced.
Good riddance.
Oh, we like that person.
You know what I mean?
They got something to say.
No, does anyone say it sincerely?
Like, the second thing you say is going to be shit talking.
I did not think of it as something weird until you just mentioned it.
Really?
Yeah. Can you use riddance in a sentence other than good riddance?
Bad riddance.
Okay, I rest my case.
The Chronicles of Riddance.
Okay.
But, like, honestly, guys, did you guys see those? Because, like, those are good films. Like, Vin Diesel's best acting is in Pitch Black and The Chronicles of Riddick.
I will not get into this.
Wait, have you seen them?
No, but
then you can't talk about it.
Have a take on what his actual best... It's not fine.
One of the things Demi and I will actually fight about is Fast and the Furious franchise.
No, it's not that at all.
Wait, is it the Rihanna singing karaoke video?
No, he has a short film called Multifacial that he wrote and directed when he was in college that got him recognized on Saving...
Wait, why wouldn't you get into that? That's insane.
Because it's not a joke. That was a joke comment you made, and then I was just like, anyway.
What's it called?
Multifacial. It's about his identity as a multiracial man, and it got
and
him...
And as a twin.
No.
No, okay.
And he wrote, directed, and starred?
Yeah, wrote, directed, and starred, and it got him noticed by Spielberg for Saving Private Ryan. He also made a movie called
Saving
Strays.
He's in Saving Private Ryan?
Yes, he is.
I don't remember that at all. Wow.
He's the one that goes, we gotta save Private Ryan.
On this podcast, we stand Vin Diesel. Yeah.
And he's actually also in Triple X. People don't know that.
Yeah.
Is Triple X also in... No, it's not part of the Riddick
it is
series. Because when earlier when I said they're great, I've seen one and okay. I was kidding.
Welcome to Vin Talk.
Spinoff podcast.
Unfiltered, pure diesel.
Pure. Shit. I wish you had a sound cue up for that.
I can get one. Unfiltered, pure diesel. Does that work?
It's perfect. Am I listening to the Jack FM right now?
Wow. You sure are.
And now back to the song, please.
Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while.
Here's the line that every single time I hear this song, I stop and go, what does that mean? And it's not even like, that's a dumb line. It's truly just like, I'm too stupid to comprehend what he's saying.
To me, that's also the life raft where I know the words again. So I'm like, what was it?
Yep.
It was worth.
Same.
Tattoos of memories and dead skin on trial.
Dead skin on trial.
Okay, hot take. Would you like to know what I really think or my shot in the dark?
Shot in the dark, yes. And then what you really think.
Okay, my shot in the dark is that he got circumcised for her.
Oh, boy, on
dead
trial.
Dead skin on trial after a big legal battle.
Yes, and then malpractice. It was a big lawsuit.
Rocked the community.
Yes, he wanted to keep the...
foreskin.
Foreskin, thank you. Don't know why I wanted to say frenulum. They don't cut that off when you get a circumcision. Yeah.
Depends on how they do it.
Ooh, I sure hope they didn't cut off the frenulum.
And then after the circumcision, he did get a tattoo on his raw wiener.
Hoo-ha. Yeah. Should they call him hoo-has for men?
No, you're thinking of Al Pacino.
Hoo-has for men.
Hoo-has for men.
Welcome to Pacino Talk.
Hoo-ha.
God, that's the funniest fucking catchphrase in the world.
Hoo-ha, yeah. Hoo-ha. Hoo-ha.
Can you say it one more time?
She had a great ass.
Now I don't like it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Well, I think probably actually, this is a very artistic read. They dated over the summer and they got sunburned and their skin peeled. And it's a reference to that. They got a tattoo that's together and they got like sunburned. Or maybe it's even referring to the tattoo, the skin that flaked off after in the healing process.
Yeah. All I can think about is how 90% of dust is dead skin that's flaked off of us. And the memories haven't been touched for a while, so there's dust on them.
Maybe.
And the dust is, like, collected from the angst, you know?
I think you're actually right, and that was the most poetic thing anyone's ever said on this podcast.
What if it's dead skin,
honestly,
like...
Jossie? Wow. Thank you.
Oh, man. Oh, I'll write an essay.
What if it's dead skin like a football, like a pig skin?
Ooh, dead skin on trial and...
Or
and,
just meat of any
and
kind.
Trial, and the outcome it's the of OJ trial. He was a football player.
It's about OJ.
It's about OJ.
This was after OJ, I think. Yeah.
Dead skin on trial.
Oh, no. He wrote it pre-OJ, 1990.
Damn. Yeah. Maybe he added that line, or he knew. Maybe it's like a Biggie scenario where everyone's like, what? How did he know about all this stuff?
If the glove was leather, that's dead skin on trial, too.
Ooh.
Let's turn this into a vegan podcast. So, guys, a lot of things are made out of dead skin.
Leather.
Or maybe dust? Hannibal Lecter. I can't make that noise.
No.
I don't know why I tried.
No?
This is the part of the podcast where we all try to make the Hannibal Lecter noise. Jossie?
I'm afraid to hear it in my ears.
Jossie? <Okay.
laughs> That's good.
It's so gentle.
It's like
delicate.
You were slurping up a little spaghetti.
It was like the tiniest noodle. It was smaller than angel hair.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm inhaling a secret.
For what it's worth, it was worth all the while.
Yeah, I
there's
agree.
Like a subtle cry behind it. I'm learning more about Hannibal Lecter's character in the movies.
Yeah, oh, he's just crying.
He was just crying.
He doesn't
we all
like
misinterpreted it.
He's Ivan the bad guy.
He's actually not. It's Buffalo Bill. Common mistake. I actually like that line. I know singing dead skin on trial is pretty weird, and maybe he could have sang that better, but like lyrically, I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and even though for what it's worth, it was worth a while, when you first hear it, doesn't sound like anything. If you deconstruct that, it checks out logically.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's just like balancing a sentence.
I kind of almost think of it, and I'm probably wrong, but my artistic interpretation is that he's like going through and reconciling all the memories he has and being like, are you really going to do this? Like all of this is on trial in terms of the verdict being like break up or stay together.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
like before she's made the decision being like, listen, for what it's worth, it was worth all the while.
Yeah.
Which is so tender.
Yeah,
I love
tender.
A tender moment. From a het cis male.
I can't imagine it being set in the middle of his, like, in the middle of the breakup, like, him trying to defend himself. Although the dead skin on trial, like, is it on, like you were saying, is it on trial? As in, like, it's not decided yet that we're breaking up, but
or,
these memories.
Are... Honest, I think it's the memories. I think it's the memories of, like, was that a good or bad relationship? Or, like, did,
yeah.
You know, like.
Because that's the fucked up thing about being in love and then breaking up is that things that as they happen are great and amazing. Yes. 6 months, a year, 2 years post-relationship seem completely fucking different to you.
Oh, yeah.
Things that, like, genuinely, not even in a toxic relationship, genuinely were so nice and maybe something they did that you just truly adored. Two years down the line, you're like, I actually fucking hated that, it turns out. I just didn't realize it at the time.
Oh, I would die if someone did that again.
Yeah. Or if you're so mad about the breakup, you have to paint it with a different stroke just so that you don't feel so much pain about
yes.
it. I've definitely done that too.
Yeah.
You're like, actually, you were an asshole, so it's good. I actually didn't like you either.
Yeah, and then you're just like, and I'll never think about the times where I was like, I'm falling for him.
No. Like, I thought it was romantic when he made me sushi on Valentine's Day, but now I realize he was just broke.
Yeah.
That's not true or anything. That wasn't personal.
I was going to say, that sounds kind of nice.
Nah. I wasn't specific.
I wanted to look up this part on Genius just to see if anyone else had
taken a stab.
Yeah. Someone was talking about like gray hair, wrinkles, and other scars as like physical evidence of a relationship, like tattoos and piercings. But none of that really.
Age.
The dust actually probably is it. I think you're right, Jossie. Yeah,
I'd take the dust.
Yeah, one person told me about dust being 90% human skin, and it really, really blew the whole story for me.
Because my house is so dusty all the time.
Oh, yeah, where does that come from?
My
Our
skin.
Bodies constantly.
I think I have body dandruff.
I think that's just normal dust.
Ewie, I don't know. I think it's a lot.
Okay.
I think I have exceptional amounts of skin.
Do you like?
You got too much skin?
Yeah, I think because I dance so much before bed, it just shakes right off.
Oh, yeah.
Just sloughs
off. You gotta stop doing that.
Okay, so then he goes back to this pre-chorus.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
This sounds Irish to
me. Yeah, it sounds like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Celtic. Yeah.
I love that little flourish.
Oh, that's pretty.
It's beautiful. This is the part that becomes a wedding song.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish those guitars would fuck off.
I'm glad that you said that because I made a version without the guitar to see what it sounds like.
Those are real strings for sure.
Oh.
That cello!
This sounds like someone is walking down the... I have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
So take the photographs and still frames in your mind.
Oh, I like this better.
Hanging on a shelf in good health and good time.
This is definitely the one he sings when like one of his really good rich friends is like, dude, we want you to sing at the wedding. And he's got like a quartet.
It was worth all the
while. Wow, his voice is gorgeous.
It's great.
But in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Right? Some good shit.
I'm ready to fall in love again.
Oh my God.
Call that ex from high school.
I think I'm ready to die, actually.
I'm ready to die, yeah.
Play this at my funeral.
It's got a forest lawn.
Actually, though, the string-only arrangement like would be gorge for a funeral. Can you imagine?
God. Although, imagine having someone sing, I hope you had the time of
singing,
your
no
life.
No singing, no singing. Strings only.
But people would know the song.
I don't know.
Especially, they'd be like, is this good riddance?
Well,
sure is.
If it's like a person from our generation hopefully dying of old age in the future, maybe it's like so far a throwback at that point.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I also think that if you took out that guitar, which like, why was that in there? Just strumming so hard.
And I think it is Billy Joe. I think that's why. I think because like in the video, he is just
hammering
those chords.
Yeah, and they're not interesting chords, and they're not being played with any sense of dynamics.
And it's like the most interesting part of the song.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
right? And it's so beautiful. Yes. I actually feel like if you listen to that strings only, that whole like bridge, I guess if we're gonna call it that. It almost could sound like one of the classical songs. What was the one you said? Chocolatey Twos. Chocobells.
Pacobells Cannon?
That one. What's it called?
Pokemon's Combo.
Pokemon's Combo.
How does that one go?
Pacobells Cannon.
How does that one go?
It's just the...
Yeah, and then it goes...
The Pokemon are coming.
This to me... Like, could have that same effect, totally.
It sounds like the soundtrack to Far and Away.
Or it's like Green Sleeves.
It's the Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise movie where they're Irish and then...
How many movies were they in?
Like three.
Whoa, that's three too many.
Maybe two.
She deserved better. Plus Eyes Wide Shut. What the fuck? Anyways, I think that's gorgeous, and I really want to sing Danny Boy on top of it.
Go for it.
Ooh, what key is this?
Danny Boy, the pipes are calling.
It's a minor.
So take the Danny Boy and...
You can't. They're not going to work.
Oh, Danny Boy, please.
Or like that, cackles and muscles alive, alive, oh. It's just, I'm like down in the town square.
I'm shipping up to Boston.
Yeah. Oh, no, no.
Is that Flogging Molly? Dropkick Murphys.
Dropkick Murphys.
That is the same. That's the same band name.
Yeah, you're thinking of two bands.
Those are the same in my brain.
You've only seen in a bar somewhere.
Nah, I don't know either of those bands. I wasn't that much of a punk.
Die, 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 die.
Alive, alive, oh. I mean, it's like so gorgeous. I almost wish the rest of the song wasn't there.
Yeah.
Or, like, I would love to hear, like, a dramatic rearrangement of the song where you truly couldn't recognize it.
Imagine like an extended outro.
With like a female opera singer.
Oh, wow.
And like a full orchestra. And also like change the chords a little because I'm very tired of those like G, C, D, G combo, whatever the fuck that is. I don't care. I want something. Give me some like E minor 7 chord. Whoa. Ding, ding, ding. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about chords.
you can hear though how it sounds like boring.
It sounds good to me.
Not the strings, just guitars.
No, I know. It sounds good
to
me.
You like the guitar?
Yeah.
It's like, it's teenage and passionate. But I think that's...
Wait, what did you just say?
Teenage and passionate.
You keep saying these sentences as if they're just like known catchphrases, and they're all just from the top of your head, and they sound like a YA novel that would sell a lot of copies.
Teenage and passionate.
Yeah, it sounds like something like young Fabio.
I hope I don't end up writing the book Teenage and Passionate.
I hope you do. Get some coin.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does, totally.
Yeah, where it's like... I think that there is something to the benefit of this song of it sounding like a song you hear in a backyard at a party.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There's that familiarity that makes you feel like you know the song even if you've never heard it before.
And then like the strings elevate us into that kind of like wistfulness that feels adult.
Wait, is this a good song?
No, what? I have the lyrics tattooed on my back this whole time.
I think this song probably would be fine if we hadn't heard it a million times.
Yes.
Fine.
Yeah, probably.
I can't take that slamming
guitar. It's very simple. It's very simple. But yeah,
simple's not bad.
We didn't talk about the line, for what it's worth, it was worth all the while.
We did.
I just said it made sense.
I thought it was a tender moment.
I feel like it doesn't make sense.
What?
I mean, like, worth the while, sure, but that's it's an elongated version of worthwhile.
It was worth all the while. There's like an article missing there.
I think it's too many. I think it's
grammatically incorrect?
Yeah.
Mm, probably.
Just like worth all.
I didn't go to college, so I will have to take a backseat on this conversation.
But I think it's one of those, you know, you bend the language.
Yeah.
You bend the language a little bit to communicate what it feels like.
He's like, this is the first time he's done it besides that fork metaphor. So I'm just like, why now?
Fork stuck.
This is a primo example of changing words over time.
Yeah.
I love primo.
Thank you. I'm workshopping something with it.
Aren't they the ones who did Devil Went Down to Georgia?
No, they did the theme song for South Park.
That's what it was.
Wow.
That's actually Primus.
Yeah, that was...
Deep cut. I don't know anyone who know that one.
No, we made the same joke.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
But Devil Went Down to Georgia is Primus.
Primus has a cover of Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Oh, that's like the
Charlie Daniels band.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I didn't get we did.
You made the better joke.
Yeah.
No, I'm really glad we had an opportunity to figure that out. Because I was confused and I would have missed your joke.
I feel like I did a good job being like a diplomat.
No, Jossie, you were the best moderator of that joke we could have imagined. And then there's only this like one little last part.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad.
It really does. Like, I mean, this entire song is kind of sad, but it's like a nostalgic sad. This song is like someone just died.
Uh-huh.
Or this part is someone just died.
Ooh. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Woo!
Yeah, that got me.
I have chills.
That's like if this is a slow dance song at a high school dance, Like, that's when you realize that you have to let go of them soon.
Oh, yeah. Or that they have a boner and they've had it the whole time.
Yeah, and you have to let go of them soon.
This is the part of the slideshow where the one kid who died shows up.
Shh.
What?
Shut.
Are you sorry.
That
it happened.
Way too real for a comedy podcast. Marissa, can you just throw a censor bar over everything Demi just said?
Don't do it. They need to know.
The it's one too kid. Real.
You know when what? That...
Also, okay, like, fine. What kind of prep school did you go to where only one kid died?
I don't think anyone died.
Oh, I didn't know you're
mine.
So rich.
Yeah, what kind of fucking fancy-ass Ivy League did you go to, doc? Yeah, but you're right. That is devastating. That's where it would be like, it would finish the kids in alphabetical order and then it'd say, like, rest in peace, David.
Or like the class hamster. Is that better?
That's way better. Thank you so much. Well, I would even go, like, the teacher would be better than the student.
What?
Like,
teacher died?
The teacher
died. That's way worse.
No, she hasn't been at that school for, like 10 years.
From, like, I mean, she's lived longer. Or
yeah.
he.
Yeah.
Men can die
from
too,
from a philosophical
Demi.
Position.
I'll let you turn that on me.
No, we're meninists here. Men can die too.
Yeah, men can
actually
die,
die too.
Wow, Alex. Mm.
I think the cello is the silent hero of this song.
Oh, for
yes.
sure.
I only wish there was more of it.
Yeah.
The cello takes us to a field in Jolly Old Ayr.
What did
I mispronounced it, and every time I say it, it's Ayr, whatever they say, that's Ireland, that's E-I-R-E. All right, we'll move
I
on.
I did not know that was a thing.
You know, like...
Jolly Old Ayr.
Is that like Celtic or something?
I think so.
Gaelic?
I think it's one of those. I don't know anything. Don't fact check me.
Words.
I don't give a shit.
I have one Irish friend, and I did ask
the
him.
The Lucky Charms leprechaun doesn't fucking count.
I have no Irish friends.
I retract my statement.
So sorry about this. So he really only said like three verses of words in this entire song.
This is, yeah, it's such a simple song, which works in its benefit, but yeah. I also, it's funny to realize that there are only like, yeah, there are six lines.
Yeah.
No, there are five lines.
It's pretty, though.
And almost, I think that, like, if I'm really going poetic here, like, it's more abbreviated than you want it to be,
yeah.
because so's the experience. Like, it's
Whoa!
Short.
Whoa! She went to college!
Damn.
Oh, my God!
This is all I did in discussion in college. I was like, well, actually, if you read the piece. There is something, like, I feel so weird about this song because it is so sentimental, tap
yeah.
unscrewed for me still, even
yeah.
though I'm like, I'm
every time you open
now.
That bottle, it's like,
yeah, and even if it's like watered down and it's not as intense as it used to be,
there's
it's
still
like,
a reaction.
Yeah. yeah. And then like you listen to it and it's just so short and like then you pack it away again until you're ready for it.
That's actually exactly my relationship with this song.
Yeah, yeah.
You nailed that so hard. This podcast, actually, this episode, I was like, oh, okay, I guess now is the time I'm going to reopen this box.
I feel like I have opened zero memories today.
Yeah, Demi, really? You're just like, yeah.
Yeah, but you also, like, don't remember a lot of stuff.
That's true. Okay. I have, like, lifelong memento yeah. disease going on. And I also just don't feel like this connects to any specific time in my life because,
yeah.
A, I don't remember when it entered my life, and B, I don't think it was ever, yeah. like, used sincerely for any sort
it was
of slideshow thing.
Every day in fifth grade, I'd walk to the bus stop and I'd listen to like either Elefunk, the whole soundtrack.
Oh, yes.
My
or
God.
Oh, Elefunk,
the whole soundtrack or International Super Hits.
The and, whole soundtrack?
Yeah. The Holes. Holes.
Oh,
starring,
oh, Holes.
Holes.
Shia LaBeouf. Of course.
And this was the last song on International Super Hits. And like
yes.
a lot of just like looking outside the bus window and the world passing by yeah. while I sing this song.
I think another.
I have that CD too.
Yeah. It's such a good CD.
It's great CD.
Which one?
International Super Hits.
It came out in like 2001 and it was like a best of the first half.
Except
of
one original song, Pop Rocks and Coke,
yes.
which is an amazing song.
Yeah.
Right.
It's got like Brain Stew on there, made me really cool, very young.
I thought Warning made me feel tight.
Oh.
I don't know.
I was such a big, yeah. I remember that I got into them around American Idiot and then like fell out when they did that Bullet in a Bible
yes.
like live. Like I yeah. bought the CD, but I was also just like, this is probably the last
I remember
thing
listening to 21 Guns and I was like, it's not the same.
Yeah. Although
something's
I did
missing.
I remember being like, it's not awful, but I can't see myself
it's
going past
me.
This point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Uno Dos Tres.
Never listened to him.
No. Yeah.
I didn't either.
You can't drop three albums on me. I don't want
no.
that. I won't listen to it. I'm sorry.
Although, Jesus, that's like 50 songs you had to write.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Which is also, I think, another reason that I'm just kind of like, well, then I don't think they'll be of any quality.
Yeah, I think that when you're like flash releasing Green, I was like, yeah. I didn't have time in my life to listen to one new Green Day album. Yeah.
I mean, he last I heard they he just did an eyeliner collab with Kat Von D. So
I believe
wow.
That.
I'm proud of him.
I'm just like psyched that there's vegans out there doing cool shit, I guess.
He's diversifying.
I didn't know he's vegan.
I think he is. I could be wrong. He was like as of like 2002's PETA's Sexiest Vegans Alive. So Demi, how in the fuck do you punch up a song as iconic as Good Riddance?
So what I'll say about this is even though I don't have any memories of it in my life, I was still a big Green Day fan and still distinctly remember listening to like all the other songs from this album. And I still also remember listening to this album being like, I don't care about this song. Mm-hmm. And but it still has memories for so many people to a specific thing, like it's with so many graduations and high school like events and whatnot, that I feel like it should just be like the lyrics should also match that. So I just changed the lyrics to be exactly what people use it for.
Perfect.
Fuck.
Oh my god,
was that god fucking damn it.
Another school year of Miss Hillman's sixth grade class. Time to look back on all the memories of the past. Like when Alyssa got her arm stuck in that net. Or when we caught Miss Hillman smoking cigarettes. When David B. and David L. both got into that fight. Miss Hillman's class was so fucking tight.
Yeah! Sixth graders swearing!
Yay! Yeah, coolest!
David L.
And David B.
Remember Joey filled the toilets with fruit punch. And then Miss Hillman said the F word during lunch. When Marsha's parents split and Marsha got real sad.
Oh no.
Or when Miss Hillman started dating Marsha's dad.
Oh no.
Miss Hillman had a hangover, so we watched The Dark Knight.
What?
Miss Hillman's class was so fucking tight.
This is amazing.
The Dark Knight.
That's
Jesus.
So funny.
Because she had a hangover, that's so she put on a movie.
This is the only DVD in her Prius.
So you know Miss Hillman.
Yeah, Hillman's going through it.
Her class is so fucking
she
tight.
She started dating a recently divorced parent of her student.
I love that you kept in the violin solo.
Yeah, it's important.
Still quite gorgeous.
This is the best part of the song.
This would still
know.
Make me cry so hard when I was young.
Oh, it's sixth grade.
We want ourselves an ice cream day for being so polite. Ms. Hillman's class was so fucking tight.
Sing it, kids.
Oh my god, the opportunity to say fucking.
No!
Ms. Hillman's class was so fucking tight.
Wow. Wow, haunting. The souls of all those.
Yeah, sorry, I had to put them in a soul stone. That's how I got them.
Oh my god.
Beautiful.
I don't know how that felt so universally true.
I loved that.
Like, the specifics were different, but like 100% I'm like, oh yeah, that was sixth grade.
Yeah.
That still made me feel like nostalgic.
For an experience I didn't have.
That is
we
so
all
funny.
Those experiences.
Yeah.
Oh, like I am sure also that that exact punch up with slightly different words has been done by sixth grade classes.
Oh, for
by,
sure.
By like overly ambitious, like 12 year olds.
Yeah.
Wanting to make a special memory for their graduation.
And they
ceremony.
Mentioned the F word thing, and the administrator's like, wait, that happened? What? It's like, hey,
no, it's like, hey. It's like the D word, though.
Yeah.
Dong.
Or when Miss Hillman said ass during lunch.
Hillman, why? Why did you say ass?
In my head, I really wanted to like make this all about Miss Hillman and just sew a narrative that she was going through a divorce
yes.
and then she married Marsha's no. dad.
I mean, this That's is halfway jokes. To being a Jason Reitman movie.
Yeah. I really wanted to be like, we saw her on the phone at lunch and then she said the F word. It's like, yeah, she's getting divorced. And then anyway.
Yeah. And then she like severely downgraded cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Started
yeah.
watching Dark Knight in class because she was hungover.
Yeah.
But like, that is so. You so nailed it of like the ice cream party.
Yeah.
Yes.
For us,
that's just
it
real
was
shit.
It was called a marble party. That wasn't it for you?
Whoa, no.
You got a marble in the jar every time you like did something right as a class, and then when the jar was full, you got an ice cream party.
I really like that it was for being polite, because it's like
for being so polite.
Such like a subjective thing of what polite kids
I wanted it to be most polite, but I just couldn't make that work.
Polite was perfect.
Yeah. Being so polite.
Also, I'm very impressed by your Billy Joe impression.
Thank you.
Little punky voice.
It's been honed since high school.
Really?
Yeah, but like those high notes are kind of hard in that voice.
Tattoos and memories and dad skin on trial.
That's great, dude.
Dad skin on trial.
Dad skin.
That's when your dad gets a circumcision.
Yeah.
And he sues for malpractice.
And then he has to go to trial because he got a circumcision in front of his kids.
I also relate to the two Davids getting into a fight.
Oh, there always was
also,
two Davids.
I liked that fight because it's like, there's just the one.
Yeah,
you know?
We all know that fight.
Yeah,
I was
that
trying
fight.
To, I was like, what's the most, I was gonna say Jacob because that's such a like young kid
Jacob
name of our
were so many like Rebeccas in my class.
My class was the year of the Alex. Male and female.
Male and female.
Yeah.
Oh shit,
we had an
dude.
Alex G, Alex H, Alex D.
We had like five Joshes also.
Yeah, we had two Alex H's.
Two Alex H's?
Yeah, so we'd be on desk, it'd be Alex H.A. and Alex H.U.
Why not just go by your last name at that point?
I think it happened, but they weren't ready for it until they like got the first chest hair.
I can't even remember. I'm just like, there were definitely some doubles, but I cannot remember them.
Isn't it nice that all three of us have names that we never probably had to worry about this issue?
Oh, yeah. No, when I meet another Jocelyn or Jossie, it's really strange.
Just special experience.
Yeah.
When me and Moore roll in a crew, it's confusing, but I just go by Digiweebe then.
It's really brave of you to still roll in that crew.
Yeah, with Michael Moore.
Yeah, who for some reason loves to be called Oluwa Demola Day.
Oh, I love when you say your own name.
That's
do it again.
No,
don't do it again.
I love when you say.
I love when you say it.
I love when you say your own name.
This is like a really fucked up version of Call Me by Your Name.
I'd fuck me.
Call me.
Call me Elio, because I'd fuck me.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me so good. Would you fuck a peach?
Okay, Unpunchable Jazz Baby now.
Unpunchables.
You can't punch this.
Jossie.
Oh, hi.
I understand you prepared notes for this.
Oh,
yeah,
yellow note.
I did mock trial in high school too. Okay. Okay, so imagine it's 2018.
Okay, yeah, last year, got it.
And you're listening to your Spotify new tracks weekly.
All the time.
And all of a sudden you hear a song and you're like, wait a second, is this the Black Eyed Peas?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's 2018, and the Black Eyed Peas are back, because I wanted to, as king of the normies, king of normie culture, and a kid who listened to Ella Funk all the time.
Hey, mama.
I have, like, I mean, the beats and the production on Ella Funk are unparalleled.
They're fantastic.
And seeing, like, the downfall of the Black Eyed Peas, the Boom Boom Pow era was just really hard. It got a little too digital, a little too technical. Just the production got so busy. It's like, what is this, Maroon 5? And
we were all saying that.
Yeah, what a normie dig.
And then Fergie went solos, his whole thing.
How dare she?
So my Unpunchable Jam is, it's like your problematic faves from the mid-aughts, because I still love Green Day. But it's called Ring the Alarm, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3.
I want to say what's on my motherfucking conscience. The whole world right now is fucking bonkers. The internet is the brand new conqueror. So watch out for the motherfucking monsters. Yikes.
It is so good. It's like if I had a fever dream one night and I was like, what if Black Eyed Peas was making Ella Funk level beats still, perfect production, but then also went kind of the Pharrell route where they're like being experimental with shifts in the song itself. And it's really funny because there is it's just Ability App, Taboo, and Will.i.am.
Fergie's not on it.
The original three, but there is a Fergie-like hook, vocal hook, with a woman who elongates her vowels just like Fergie, but I looked up, it's not Fergie.
Whoa. Sound the alarm. Revolution time has come.
Wake up, sound the alarm. Tell the people here come the storm. Is this the song where they talk about how like hip hop isn't what it used to be?
I think that, I mean, it's just verses. Like each guy just gets long verses in it, and they're really good. They're really good verses, if you ask me. And then also, it's like, it's still like Will.i.am talking about the, it's like, it's okay. If Where Is the Love is the song we needed after 9/11.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ring the Alarm is the song we needed to heal after like 2018. Like
oh, wow.
it was like, yeah,
this is like, some serious let's get re- Erasure.
Yes, okay.
On the same album as Where's the Love.
To me, that's Let's Get It Started.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I almost said Rejected because that's rejected. What I was taught to say instead.
But we've got to reject that narrative and pretend it didn't happen.
Because the Black Eyed Peas are back.
Yes, they're back. And it's Will.i.am still talks about like the Illuminati. And he's he talks about how the government killed Black Panthers.
I one time was behind Will.i.am at a Vons on a Friday night. And I knew it was Will.i.am because there was a Lamborghini parked sideways across like three handicap spaces out front. And he was in front of me in line buying a single Yoplait yogurt on phone with his mom. Yelling at her about how it's her birthday and it doesn't really matter. And I was like, tight, 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 I love this dude.
I recorded a podcast at his studio once and it is like a parody of a Will.i.am studio.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That dude is like a walking stereotype of himself.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're going to love his verses. They're very self-serious.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure he performed that, or they all performed that song on the Late Late Show recently.
Really?
Yes. Because they also had like a Fergie type woman with them.
Yes,
and I was just kind of like, what is this? But I don't remember the song well enough.
It's like Indiana Jones sandbag for statue.
All I remember is buzz was going around about a new Black Eyed Peas song and someone was saying like, oh, it's all about how hip-hop isn't how it was. And I was like, yeah, but Will, you can't just like make Boom Boom Pow and make your next stuff like hip-hop needs to go back to the classics
because I was famous then.
When I'm thinking about the primary focus isn't necessarily about hip-hop not being the same, it's like just like the government.
Also things I love to hear in hip hop.
But okay, yeah. So is this a perfect song? No. Is it the song that I wish, like, is it the Ella Funk dream that I wanted to hear from the Black Eyed Peas in 2018 that I didn't know that I needed? Yes, it is.
Well, I mean, you have the platform right now and you've used it.
Yes, and I want everyone to drop what they're doing and listen to full song. Three parts, one track.
If this song like gets even moderately successful after this, I'm 100% giving you the credit.
Bump. The Jossie bump.
The Jossie bump. Wow.
That sounds like a dance move.
Well,
that sounds like the dance move you film yourself doing.
Knowing how I dance, it's not a cool dance move.
Or maybe it is cool because normie culture, we're bringing it in 2019.
King of the normies.
Wow. Well, thank you for speaking your truth.
Thank you. I really hope people listen to it.
I'm excited and simultaneously apprehensive to
this
listen
is
to it.
One of those things where it's like I heard it and then couldn't talk about it with anyone, so I've become like an evangelist.
Demi, do you want to go next or do you want me to go next?
I can go next. No, you go next.
Okay, mine is simply based on the idea that reminiscing on an old relationship. And it's a song that I love so much, and I realized somehow I've never made an Unpunchable jam, although I did just talk about it on a bonus episode, so sorry. Here, subscribe to the Patreon. It is called Stardust. It's by Hoagy Carmichael.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song and the melody haunts my reverie. And I am once again with you.
Oh, specifically the version that's just him singing in the piano, not like the big band, because that song's been done like over 1,000 times. It's one of the biggest standards, like, or it was. I don't
know. Is this the version that's on Beginners?
Yes! Which is what we were talking about on the Patreon. I'm obsessed with that movie.
That movie, oh my God, I love that movie so much.
I think it's my all-time favorite movie.
Also, just like, it's so cool to see an actor like Christopher Plummer put in such a great later in life performance.
Oh my God. I could talk about the movie for 10 years. Yeah. But if we're just talking about the song, I love a song with a good whistle break. The whistling is incredible. We just don't whistle like we used to.
Yes. Oh my God. That song gives me goosebumps.
It does. I've heard it so many times. It's the kind of song, I don't believe in marriage and I probably will never get married, but if I were to get married, I feel like this would be the kind of song I'd be like, okay, I could get married to that song.
It's so sweepy.
I know. And I also love the language. It's so indicative of the time. Like, it feels like a time portal. I'm like, oh, I want to talk like this and try to smoke a cigar. Like, just
like
feels
a His Girl Friday type deal.
Yeah, exactly. Except I'm
her own Girl Friday.
Sure.
She's going to take her dame in the car.
That's right.
See?
It's an artist date. Deep cuts to the book artist way. It's fine. And let's move on. Demi, what's your unpunchable jam?
My unpunchable jam is a song by this band Reptar, a band that I've loved them since I discovered them when I was still living in Austin, and like they played a few shows in the area, and I would go to every one just because they were so. Like, they had just one EP, or no, is it, no, is an EP the shorter one? Yes. They had one EP that I was super obsessed with, and was just, like, every song on it was perfect, and I would tell everyone about it, and, like, I would make, like, videos that I shot for the school newspaper that I was working at.
Whoa, video for a newspaper?
Yeah.
What is this, like, a Harry Potter type situation?
Well, they also had, like, an online component, okay. And I, like, was hired to do, like, video and interviews for that. And, like, every time I shot a video, I'd be like, all right, what Reptar song can soundtrack this? And the song I want to plug is called Sweet Sipping Soda. It's just really fucking fun. It's like the most exciting song I know. It just keeps building and building until it feels like someone's just like shooting off confetti at the end of the song.
Oh,
like
cool.
It doesn't sound like that. It feels that way.
Love
like,
a big build.
Yeah. And it just feels like, I don't know. It feels like there's a million components to it, and I can just imagine myself being at a concert and everyone just going nuts for it. It just feels so fun. And the only connection it possibly has to this, and I didn't even think of this before, but the first line is, so many good friends moving away, it's obscene how it's so fair.
Ow.
I'm going to need about 3 months to unpack that.
Oh, I've never unpacked it, but I just thought, so many good friends moving away. Kind of like this song, I guess, maybe.
Also, Reptar.
Rugrats. Yeah.
Rugrats.
Need we say anymore?
They're a band from the 1800s, just after Rugrats started airing.
Yes. Marissa, don't laugh. Marissa, don't laugh at him.
Marissa, you can laugh all that you want.
Demi. This is not okay.
I think it's great.
I would like to also take a quick moment before we wrap this up to acknowledge that Demi bought another iPad and now is off the laptop and back to iPad sound cues.
Why are you acknowledging that?
I just feel like this is a big mark.
It's good to
in our journey in the podcast canon that we are back on iPad.
It's really good to track character arcs.
So for those of you who left because we were off iPad, we're back.
And we're better than ever, baby.
You're on an iPad, baby.
Jossie, if people want to keep up with your, honestly, like, poetry? like, you're so funny, but, like, surprisingly poetic this episode. I did not expect to have such, like, a catharsis here with you.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I mean, this just unlocked it, you know?
It was beautiful. I loved it. Where can people have more of it?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at jossie.com. That's JOCEYDOTCOM.
Wait. That's one, just really quick. That's the spelled out your username.
Yeah.
And not actually at www.jossie.com.
No. That'd be so scary.
I was like, what do you put
there?
So
if you want to find me, you have to click on the button. So it'll look like a little bird. And then they'll take me to my Twitter. I'm really trying to drive organic traffic to jossie.com.
Yeah, your tweets are actually so great. And they are so criminally underfaved. It really hurts my heart. Mo was like, why don't people see these? These are fantastic tweets.
Wow, that's huge. Yeah, it's get in on the movement early.
Yeah, just like that Black Eyed Peas song. You got to get in now. Ground floor, baby.
Gotta get.
If you want to follow me, I'm at Miel. It doesn't sound like it's spelled. You can follow Demi at Electro Lemon or us at Punch Up the Jam. Our picture on Instagram today for this episode.
It's quite reminiscent.
It was inspired, I'll say.
Yeah.
We also have a Patreon for $7 a month. You get a whole other podcast.
Yeah, whole other podcast. You can download and stream our songs. You can vote on future songs. And you also get to see a little behind the scenes of how we make songs together every so often.
It's very embarrassing. Yeah. I do not like filming them.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know why we offered it as a perk because I hate it.
It was entirely your idea.
It was 100% my idea. I need to check myself before I wreck myself. Yeah.
Can I take some extra footage and just put it to the final song in La La Land?
Oh, please.
Dun, 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 dun.
City of Stars.
I'd also like to thank producer Marissa.
Bam, 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 bam. Hit that. I don't have a... It's fine.
Marissa will add in one because Marissa's an amazing producer.
Here, Marissa, how would you like this as your drop? Super producer Marissa! Roll out.
That's all for
today.
That's it, everybody.
See you next
Thank
week.
You so much.
Okay, that was
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.